listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
And this morning we get to have John Carbo with us. John serves the Lord for large portions of time in Sierra Leone. John and Lindsay oversee a ministry entitled Rescue Ministries International. John's used to reach blind children in that part of the world who are outcasts and provide a school and measures like that. He has been used of God to speak at large to the body of Christ, not only in Sierra Leone, but into other neighboring African countries. And this morning you get to hear him as he shares his heart with us. But I want to remind you, you can give to the church, you can give to John's ministry in any one of these fashions. Today, there's an offering reception box in the foyer. You can mail in your gifts. You can give online. Find this ministry, connect, and participate. So I encourage that. So, John, it's great to have you here today. We need the pulpit for John, Ben. So I want you as a group here today, because John is not only what I described to you, is he a missionary evangelist to Sierra Leone? Not only is he that, but he is a member of this house. He and Lindsay are participating members of Cornerstone Church. Their young family has endeared themselves to many, many of you. We've seen them grow. And I just want you to stand to your feet and welcome John Carbo as he comes to share with us the word of the Lord here today.
Amen. Thank you. It's a great honor for me to be back here, to be a pastor or to be a preacher is a very difficult task. When people clap for you, it means they expect much from you. So you have to tread cautiously. I want to say thank you to Pastor Larry and his wife for the love they always show to me and my family. Since I came here 2009, he has been a father to me, and we've been doing well. I preach around Grace Harbor. I go all over the place because Pastor Larry recommended me to some churches around. Say, John is my own son. So, for God's sake and for his sake, they allow me to speak in their churches. And this morning we had a double booking. That is why my wife is not here. She might be on her way. You know, when you get married to a person like me, you're in trouble. Because we are very busy people. We are all over the place. And so my boys are here seated. They are on training. I hope Josiah is listening. He's my senior pastor, I call him, and Jeremiah is trying. So thank you very much for listening. And I'm kind of a very annoying preacher, man. So you better just get ready. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
I am an African preacher. Here comes my wife. She comes on time because she knows she had to pray for me. She's my, you know, she's my prayer warrior. Sometimes I sleep while she prays. and it's time for you to just come and pray here before I preach the word of God. Can you appreciate my wife?
Thank you. I couldn't find a place to park, so I had to go all the way around the church twice. Anyway, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this special day. Thank you, God, that you've given us breath in our lungs. You've given us a clear mind. You've given us a healthy body to come and hear your word. And I just ask, Lord, that your presence would fill our hearts and our minds. And Lord, I pray that you'd use the words that you placed in John's heart today to speak to our hearts and to move the mountains that we've had placed in there for so long. I pray, Lord, that we would not leave this place the same as when we came in. I pray that you'd move the things in our hearts that need to be moved so we can seek you and pursue you in the ways that are pleasing unto you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I want to go to God's word this morning as we read Daniel chapter 6. This is a very popular story here that we all have heard about. But we are going to learn some things from this one and take home what God wants us to take home. Daniel chapter 6 from verse 1 to 28. Now this morning my message is titled, Pursuing a Godly Lifestyle in This Ungodly World. Pursuing a Godly Lifestyle in This Ungodly World. Now, I travel around the world. I know the world is ungodly. Now, you might be having around to be in America most of the time. But I do go around nations, and even here in America, we have challenges on how things are going on with our lives. It's very challenging. And now we have to learn as Christians that we are now in the last days. These are the signs. And Daniel here is a young man that I want to talk about here in the Bible. Now let's read the scripture. I want us to read. I have my own witness when you take me anywhere. The Bible is my own witness. When I preach, I give reference to the Bible. Daniel chapter 6 from verse 1. It says, it pleased Darius to set over a kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom. Let's go. And over them, this three high officers, of whom David was one, to whom these satraps should have account, should give account so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel. Now the word the Bible says about this Daniel. Now became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because, watch this one, an excellent spirit was in him. An excellent spirit was in Daniel. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. But when they could find no ground for complaint or any fault, because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him, then these men said, we shall not find any ground for complaint against Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. This is what is happening. Even the government is trying to offend the church with certain laws they want us to accept. They know they are not right. Now here, then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, O King Darius, live forever. Now all the high officers of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors, agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O King, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O King, establish this injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Now then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked. Now follow me with the story. Then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is a law of this Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. Verse 16, then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. Now the king declared to Daniel, this is what I want to understand as you go about your Christian life. Now even the king declared, he said, may your God, whom you serve, continually deliver you. Now, and a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his claws, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Verse 20. Then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. Now, listen to what the king said. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Even the king was asking this question. Now Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king, I have done no harm. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions. Now, they, their children, and their wives, and before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then the king Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. Now, I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is a living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. Huh. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heavens and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. Now finally, so this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Put your hands together for Jesus. Now, this alone is a whole message. I don't need to preach, because reading the story will tell you the God we serve. He is a powerful God, a mighty God, who has the power to conquer everything around us. Now, I want to speak here quick on the subject, pursuing a godly lifestyle in this ungodly world. Now, as you are seated here, you can understand that we are in this race, But the race is very difficult. It's a very difficult moment in the world today as a Christian. Now, wherever you find yourself as a Christian, you suffer humiliation, persecution, rejection, and many things around you. Now, I come from a Muslim background. Now, I was rejected by my own family because I wanted to be a pastor, a Christian pastor who can preach the gospel. Now, I stood so firm that I, no matter what happens, I want to be a pastor. I was rejected. I was sent out of many places, but yet I stood firm. And persecution comes no sooner you accept Jesus in the Muslim world. That is why you see, we don't publish them on websites, those who accept Jesus, because we put them on risk. Because over there, it's a risk for you to be a follower of Jesus. But here, I want to talk about how we as Christians should pursue a godly lifestyle in this ungodly world. Now, sometimes we have to compromise because of families. Now, we have to compromise because of the workplace where we find ourselves. But as a believer, a firm believer, how can we pursue a godly lifestyle in this ungodly world? Now, some of us, we have our friends who are not believers. Now, for the sake of love, sometimes we want to do what they do. Now, that is what we call compromise. You are compromising. It's not love. That love is loving the sinner but hates the sin. Love is loving the sinner but hates the sin. Now, compromise is when you love both the sinner and the sin. So these are two different things. Now, so, oh, let's just accept that. Yes, you can accept a sinner, but do not accept what they do. Now, my father was a drunkard. My father was an alcoholic. That's why I hate alcohol with passion. I don't like alcohol at all because I know the damage it caused in my family. You know, my father was growing up, a young man, and he was an unbeliever before he became a believer. So I was young, I saw the impact, the negative effect the alcohol caused in his life. And so growing up, that sin comes to me, and that's why I don't like even the smell of alcohol. Because I hate it with passion. I know how destructive alcohol is. And so when growing up as a pastor, when I was preaching, you know, one day I was in a revival. There are many people that were called outside to receive Jesus. And one man came, he was running to me and said, "Hey, pastor," he said, "how can you arrange someone who sells alcohol?" He said, I survive with my family through this thing. I said, "You know what? I want to pray for you that God will give you something else to do instead of saying." And I prayed for him. God answered his prayer. He became a businessman selling outfits instead of selling alcohol. He's now a bishop, as I tell you. He's now a whole pastor having a big church. Because why? God transformed him. From having this type of, you know, in this generation we live today, sin is called addiction. They change the name from sin to addiction. Now they are trying to make things look nicely. Now when you say, "Oh, it's just an addiction," it's sin. Now it destroys your inner man. It damages everything about you. Now, like even smoking. Smoking is dangerous. It affects your lungs. It gives you a bad breath. You know, I teach people in Africa, the young people coming up, the effects of sin. Now, even sexual immorality, it gives you HIV/AIDS. You have all of these bad things coming around you. Because why? You don't follow a godly lifestyle. You know, sorry, I don't have exciting messages. I don't. Now, pursuing a godly lifestyle in this ungodly world. Now, if we are not hard on ourselves, we might die and go to hell. And now, in the church of today, we have taken away the name hell. We don't want to hear the name hell. We say our God is a loving God. Yes, he's a loving God. Now, he came as a lamb. He's coming as a lion. He's coming back. The lion. Now, he's coming back to judge the world. And so if you have found wanting, Even if you are the most powerful prayer warrior, if you are not living a godly life, now he will say, depart from me, I know you not, you worker of iniquity. Now the church is now becoming very cold. Because why? We are bringing the worldly statements to make sure people feel good. You know, let me tell you, sometimes we have to be uncomfortable with the word of God. Let us allow the word of God to offend us. And when it does, you have the way of transformation. Now, how can we live a godly lifestyle? Number one, be ye separate. Be ye separate. It is difficult to live a separate life in this ungodly world. Now, you are fighting for acceptance. People should accept you. Now, to me, I don't care. If you love me, I don't care. All I know, God loves me. That's all I know. I work towards God loving me, not people loving me. Because man can fade away, but God remains forever. Now, sometimes we are people pleasers. We love to please people. So, oh no, let's just leave him there. Now, be ye separate. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Let's see this one. It says, therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. Not says John, but says the Lord. Now, he says what? And touch no unclean thing, then I will welcome you. Touch not no unclean thing. Let's all go away from this thing that defile our system. This ungodly acts. They are things that will destroy our eternity. Now, let me tell you, you live in this world for just 70 years and 8 years and you're dead. Now, what about the eternity? You're going to be there forever. Hey, how can someone be in hell for the rest of his life? Now, I'm sorry if you don't want to hear the word hell, but there is hell. And there is heaven. And so now be separate. Now touch not no unclean thing. Now Romans 12 verse 1 and 2. Romans 12 verse 2 say, I appeal to you. Now they are now, listen to this. They are now even appealing to us. Now say, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. Now not only brothers, but even sisters. Don't take excuse. Say they only say brothers. Is brothers and sisters. He said, to present your bodies, listen to this, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Let your bodies, now, if you want to worship God wholeheartedly, now, let your bodies be a living sacrifice. But the Bible says, if you regard sin in your heart, I will not answer your worship. You are just making noise. They present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Now, verse 2 says, now do not conform to the standard of this world. Bible says, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that by testing you may discern what's the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Pursue a godly lifestyle in this ungodly world. Be separate. No matter, people might say all types of things, no worry. Be ye separate. And one day, there will be a crown for you in heaven. You know, when we die, we only have to meet God. And there is judgment. There is grace. That's correct. God gives us grace, but there is judgment when you die. Now here, be ye separate. Now, Galatians 2, verse 30 to 22. Galatians 2, it says, what? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So that's why when Christ lives in you, you live a separate life. You're different. Your body will be the same like somebody else, but your lifestyle is different. Now, you can try. Sometimes you don't have many friends. Let me tell you, to live a godly life, sometimes you have few friends. Because they might abandon you because you love to serve God. I don't care about that one. All I care is I want to make heaven. I don't want to waste my time on earth preaching, flying all over, and then when I die, God says, you are a wicked sinner, go away from me. Ah, that would be terrible. How long you've been coming to church, giving offerings, singing, worshiping, but when you die, you go to hell. Now listen to this one. We say, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by faith, not by sight. Because why? I am separate. You know, sometimes me and my wife, I teach her what is faith. You know, the American life is the abundance here. Sometimes we don't have faith here at all. And we don't pray for bread. In America, we pray for appetite. Because the bread is always available. In Africa, we pray for bread and not for appetite. That's a difference. And so my wife is so organized. I am very disorganized. Extremely disorganized. I only move by faith, not by sight. And she likes to prepare things before time. I just move according to God's way. And sometimes we need something, money to do something, and she'll be who. I said, don't worry, God in heaven will provide. Don't worry. And then when the thing comes, she'll just smile. I say, I told you, don't worry. There is a God who will prepare a way where there seems to be no way. Be separate. Look at others struggling. Yes, they are struggling because why? They don't know the God they serve. They are worried about their lives, what to eat, what to drink. Because why? They are not separate. Live a separate life and God in heaven will come and honor you. Now, I always tell people, as Christian, they should identify you. No sooner they see you, they should know you're a Christian. What you say from, what comes from your mouth, what you say to other people, they should identify you as a Christian. That's why in public places, I am very careful, I tell you. Because sometimes they offend you. They make your hearts go, oh my God. Sometimes I want to say things that are not Christian at all. You know, I told you the story all the time about a guy who took my bumper off when I was driving in Africa. He came from the back, bam. And he came out of his car and he was trying to challenge me also, trying to say words, mean words. And this lady came and said, oh, Pastor John, how are you? I said, I have to shut up here. Now imagine if I would have said anything mean, then I will have destroyed my testimony to this lady. And I just preached in their church on Sunday. And I was offended on Monday. So as a Christian, they know us as we go around. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men. Let your light shine in your neighborhood. Your character, your godly lifestyle. People should know you serve a living God. People should know you're a Christian, not just come to church. You know, some of us, we just come to church on Sunday, dance, sing, cry, and go home and involve in pornographic life. We go home and behave as if we are not Christians at all. And God sees us in secret. He knows what we do. Now, in public places, we jump and dance, but he knows what we do in secret. Now here, be separate. Cornerstone Church members, let us try to make heaven. Let us be separate. The Bible says be separate. Now, 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9 to 11. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9, so let's see this one. Now, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? You know, I am here to give you scriptures. So if you take me to court, I have my witness here. Now, do not be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality. This is the most dangerous element destroying the world nowadays. Now, one thing that I say, in Africa, things are different with here. Now, what is accepted here is not, in Africa, polygamy is accepted, but it is not legal in the sight of God. In the Western world, homosexuality is legal. They say it's human right. But polygamy is not accepted. See how the devil works. Now, what is good in the sight of man things that are not biblical should not be practiced. Now listen to this one. Now, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if a thief... Now, stealing is not breaking someone's door. Even in your workplace, if you write 10 for 15, you're a thief. Now, here, the greedy. Some are very selfish. That's ungodly lifestyle. Now, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Now, let's go to the next one. Titus chapter 2 from verse 11 to 12. It says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Now, listen to me. We're going to pray today. I know this is a very hard message, but we have to live godly lifestyles. No matter how you see, your life should speak, and God in heaven should have a way. Now, verse 12 says, train us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Huh. We have to practice living a godly life. You can be speaking in tongues. It's okay. But what about your inner life? What is inside of you? Now, what is... You can be praising God. It's okay. What is inside of you? Your style. God knows your inner man. For us, we see the outside. It's okay. But what about the inside? Let us pursue a godly lifestyle in this ungodly world. When people see you, let them see Jesus in you. When they see you, let them see Christ's image in you. And when you die, I want to tell you, you make heaven. We are going to meet a Jesus who is a no-nonsense judge. He's going to judge the living and the dead. Now, whatever you do on earth shall be judged when you die. Let us live a godly lifestyle. You know, in Africa, they are bringing the rules. Now, one person came and said, if you do this and do that, I'll give you money. The people said, no, take your money. We are not going to accept this one. They are using money to destroy the lives of people. There are laws in schools. Now, in America, you can't take Jesus to the school, but you can take Jesus to the prison, you know? That's something very interesting. I think if Jesus starts in school, there will be less prisoners in the world. So that is the opposite. Now, in church, they are now trying to make us accept things that are not godly. In our families, they want us to rise up in the morning and accept all those ungodly things. Now, I prefer to stand alone than stand alongside with ungodly people. Because why? The judgment day is coming. Be separate. Stand firm. Don't compromise your faith for a family member. I will not die for my family member and go to hell. I will reject and stand, be separate, and pursue a godly lifestyle. Second one, as I close, put away the old self. Put away the old self. Now, when you came to Christ, you received Jesus, you leave all those bad things behind you. Now, we have a song we sing when we baptize people. It was a glad day when I was born again. See, the things I used to do, I do them no more. The place I used to go, I go there no more. The words I used to say, I say them no more, because I am now a born again child of God. Now, they pursue righteousness. Now, Isaiah 43, verse 18 to 20. It says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. What has passed, hey, whatever you have done in this world, God has forgiven you. Forget it. He has done the work for you on the cross. So don't just look back. Forget about them. You have done those bad things in your life. Now you're now a born-again child of God. Forget those things they have passed. And do not go back and do those things that you have done. Pursue a godly lifestyle. Say, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Look at those words. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. This is God talking here. He will make a way for you. Just pursue a godly lifestyle and he will make a way where there seems to be no way. Now, the wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostrich, for I give water to in the wilderness, rivers and desert, to give drink to my chosen people. I decided to pursue God even in the midst of hard times. My wife met me in Africa. She knows how she met me. A young pastor preaching the gospel with nothing to eat, no food sometimes. I had to walk by foot to go far away doing evangelism. But yet, I said, I am going to serve my God. I was provoked by my friends. You know, I wanted to be a lawyer. That's my passion. That was my dream. And God said, if you be a lawyer, you might not make it to heaven. I said, why? He said, because you might be lying so people will win their case. He said, go and preach the gospel. I hated being a pastor in my life. When they call me pastor, I get angry. Because the enemy was right inside of me, trying to destroy the call of God in my life. But one day, God opened my eyes. I totally accepted Jesus. And today, I fly around the world as my own time to preach the gospel. Those who rejected me, now I help them out for survival. Because why? I decided in my heart, no matter what happens, I'm going to pursue a godly lifestyle in this ungodly world. Now, even as a pastor, if you preach such messages in your church, you might lose members. Because why? They feel offended. But let me tell you, you have a crown of righteousness when you die. Because why? You've spoken the truth, and God is going to honor you with what has happened. Be ye separate. Put away the old self. Now, Ezekiel 36, verse 26 says what? I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you what? Heart. Now, God is about to do something in your life. He wants you to pursue a godly lifestyle. And so what's going to do? He's going to work in your heart. Those things that have been destroying your heart, he's going to take them out one after the other. He said, be transformed. Renew your mind. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:17 is where I want to stop here with my verses here. It said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All that has happened in your life has happened. Pursue a godly lifestyle. Get away from all the immoral things in this life. Now consider your Christian moral values and hold them to high esteem. Do not be a people pleaser. One day, God will not be happy with you. You know, as you come to church today, God has a message for you. That's why you're here. Go home and pursue a godly lifestyle. What is not of God, don't do it. There are things we practice, they are not godly. They are an abomination to the words of God. But yet, for the sake of love, we do them to compromise. I want to pray with you today. Whatever you're practicing in secret, that only God knows. There are things it's only you and God that knows. Nobody knows. If they're ungodly, ask God to help you today. Addiction is sin. It's sin. Leave the word addiction out and use sin. Say, God, I have sinned. I'm sinning against you. It's not an addiction. You go to counseling. You don't need counseling. You need deliverance. You have to be delivered from such satanic practice. In Africa, we have witchcraft, and Brush knows what I'm talking about. People come every day when we do revivals. They hand over their witchcraft weapons of destruction. to the altar. Their charms, they threw them as we preach. One lady came and she took off her outfit. She said, "Pastor, this is what I use to fly at night. They fly without any engine. They use their witchcraft manipulation. Some people, pornography is their way of having pleasure. Some taking drugs is what they think is pleasure. Ungodly practice. Homosexuality is an abomination. You cannot speak that publicly now, but I want to speak it here. Polygamy in Africa is an abomination. They don't practice that one. Even if you are the best preacher, you don't allow to have two wives. In fact, for us, the worst is that divorce is even a problem. Yeah, that's why I told my wife. I said, you're getting married to a man in a culture where we don't divorce. Are you ready for the journey? Because I am not going to accept any divorce, for better, for worse. I follow you wherever you go. I cry with you. I sing with you. And that's why I told my boys. Josiah went to Africa with me. He saw the culture, how we behave. Pursue a godly lifestyle. Stop gossip. Gossip is ungodly. Some people are perfect in gossip. It destroys the church. Yeah, I want to pray today. Ask God. Say, God, where am I? Where am I? What are my areas that I need to adjust so I pursue a godly lifestyle? Some of us, unforgiveness is our ungodliness. Bitterness is all we have in our system. Malice operates in our system, and yet we want to praise God. It's an ungodly lifestyle. Learn to forgive if you want to pursue a godly lifestyle. Stand to your feet. We are going to ask God this day that we are going to pursue a godly lifestyle. Number one, we are going to be separate. I'm not saying that you avoid people. No. Like I said, you love the sinner but hate the sin. You love people. I have friends who are very bad boys. My wife knows. I try to adjust their sales so they can go well. I want you to pray to God this afternoon that God will make you live a godly lifestyle. Lift your hands to the heavens. Talk to God in your heart. Talk to God. Say, God, I want to pursue a godly lifestyle. As I'm going home, I want to be separate. I want to put my old self away. And I give myself unto you. Can we have one worship song here? As the people meditate upon God's word this day.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church weekly podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.